Welcome to the Life Church Podcast. If you'd like to hear more from us, check out our website, lifechurchohio.com, or look us up on Facebook. Search Life Church Ohio. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
On yet? How about now? Good. Hey, Brendan, happy birthday, buddy. Woo! 21. Is that what you said, Jeff? How did you get to be volunteer? Just kidding. Man up. Here we go. Well, happy Super Bowl commercial Sunday, everyone. Are you guys, all right, show of hands. Who's more excited for the Super Bowl itself versus the commercial? Super Bowl? Wow. One, all right. And for the Super Bowl commercials? How many had no idea the Super Bowl is coming up today? Oh, there we go. That's the majority. I don't know what that says about us. Probably a good thing. It's okay. Well, anyway, regardless, it's good to have everybody. Thank you guys for braving this cold Ohio weather. And everybody watching online, we really do appreciate you guys as well. So I'm glad just to have us together. You know, any way we can connect just to get the church in the building or watching online, any part that we can connect and unify, more power to us. And I literally mean more power to us, that when we gather in His name, there's something that happens in the spiritual realm that we don't recognize often enough, and God shows up and does incredible things. So I'm excited that you're here. Last week, as you may remember, it's hard to remember that far back, but we didn't actually meet in the building, right? You guys remember that? We had some snow, and it was nice and cold, and we got to snuggle up around the fire, and hopefully you enjoy that. But thanks for joining us online, and thanks for the continued support and encouragement. When you guys send us, emails and texts and things like that, it really makes a difference. So thank you guys for doing that. Keep them coming. but it's funny, I have a little bit of, there's some mixed reviews, though, from last week. And there was one person in particular who really didn't like last week's message. And they're not going to like this week's message either. Do you know who it was? Satan. Actually, I should say it like church lady. Satan? Can you do that effect? I'm like, Satan? I don't know. If that's an old Saturday Night Live thing. But isn't that special? But honestly, like half kidding, half not, the enemy was really not happy with last week's message and where we're going now, because we're talking about having life in Jesus Christ. And that is a message that the enemy does not want to hear. And as I'm going to tell you a little bit, I just got hit hard this week over a few different times and a couple different nights. So there's something on this. There's something special about it. So perk up a little bit. No sleeping, no checking your phones. Let's all pay attention and engage, because when Satan comes against you, that means God's doing something, and we want to be a part of that. So Lord, we do just ask right now that you would come in power. We invite you, Holy Spirit. We just say, come, Holy Spirit. We desperately want to hear from you. We want to relate with you and just spend time with you right now, God. Thank you that you are here, that you were here before we were, and that you have great plans for this message today for each one of us. Let's pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so, yeah, Satan didn't like it too much, and mainly because we kind of called him out, and we identified his M.O. And what is his M.O.? It's to steal, to kill, to destroy, to devour, to divide, anything and everything. And he's not always overt, right? Like, it's easy to identify evil when you see big evil, and it's, like, obvious. Satan is pretty smart, and he's really, really subtle, and he'll kind of slide in and give a half-truth or whatever it is, but it has one purpose, and that's to steal and to kill and divide us and all of these different things, to devour us. And we looked at last week, and I'm going to look at it again, John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. That's what he does. We should not be surprised when we go through life feeling attacked. We are attacked every day, continually, over and over. 1 Peter 5:8 says this, be self-controlled and alert. That's a good message right there. Be self-controlled and alert. Pay attention. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. Right now, he is looking for someone to devour. That's what he does. That's who he is. And as we, that's his one and only job, again, to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to divide and conquer. He wants to divide the church, this church. He wants to divide your family. He wants to divide you and your spouse. He wants to divide and conquer. Again, anything and everything he can. He wants to divide us politically, racially, ethically, you name it. That's his job. Satan, we don't like this, but it's true. Satan has a plan for your life. But guess what? And I know you know where I'm going with this. God has a better one. We talked about it last week, that God has a plan to prosper us and to do good to us and not to harm us. He has, there's these two plans working. Our natural tendency, unfortunately, is to slide into Satan's plan because it's easier. And in the temporal, it feels good right now. And we all know this, like if you're working out, it doesn't feel good in the short term, but it feels better in the long term, right? If we stick with it. And Satan is all about, no, 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 you're fine. You know, like those stretchy pants still have a little bit more room, you know, like go ahead and just have a little more cake. You're fine. You know, that's easy. God's plan. He has a plan, but it takes our participation and it takes a little bit of work. And we don't like to hear that, but that's just the reality. So Satan has a plan, but God has a better one. So my week has just been, again, I've just been hit over and over. It started Monday morning. I woke up, the first thing I was doing is getting my coffee. No, I used the restroom first, okay. I used the restroom, went out, got my coffee, sitting down to just do my devotion time, and I just felt so out of sorts. I felt scattered and confused, and again, like we showed last week, I felt like I was starting my week in muddy boots, like I'm gonna go run in muddy boots. And you guys know that feeling of just like, you know, like you can barely walk, let alone run. And so that's how I started my week. And a couple different times this week in my dreams, like last night I woke up and had a mini, kind of a panic attack. I had no idea what it was about. Like, I don't know why I'm kind of wanting to freak out right now, but I'm just like, I was trying to freak out and I'm like, no, God, help me right now. I just called out. And that's what we have to do. We just have to submit ourselves to God and resist the devil. So I'm asking the Lord, I'm like, well, why is this, God? Like, aren't I kind of doing your will? I'm trying to serve you. I'm trying to, you know, do whatever I can, you know, on a Sunday, prepare a great message for you and that you can communicate. And I'm like, Lord, what's going on? And God said this to me very clear. It was like, comes to mind. You know, do you have those God moments when you're like, that was from God? Well, God said to me, he says, you got to fight for it. It's not just going to happen just because you want it. You know, you hear American Idol, it's like, that, you know, sorry, you need to leave the show, but I really want it. Is that enough? Does that give you, what does that get you? Okay, well, guess what? There's 10,000 people waiting outside who really want it too. Wanting it is not enough. God told me, and he's telling you right now, you have to fight for life, but it's there. It's not like we're going to have to strive and just, oh, God, please, and do all of these things and A, B, and C all the way to Z until we can get what we want and get that life. But God says we do have to fight for it. And medically, as we look at this, you hear this, the fight for life, maybe. Oh, there it is. Yeah, you hear this, the fight for life, you know, and Zach, when he was in the hospital, was there for 3 months right after he was born, literally fighting for his life every minute. Fighting for life. We understand this medically. In COVID, there's been some people in our church body who've been fighting for life. We understand that when it comes to our physical bodies, don't we? Well, you know what? It's true for the in the physical realm, but it's truer, and I don't care if that's a good grammar statement or not, it's truer in the spiritual realm. It's true, we get it in the physical. You gotta fight for life, man. Keep fighting. And when they're unconscious and on the bed, you're like, keep fighting, you can do it. Fight, fight, fight. God is saying to each one of us, the tendency is to be spiritually dead. God is saying, fight, fight, fight. You have to fight for life. But it is available. It is right there. It is closer than we can even imagine as we fight for that life. Yeah, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know why I wanted to go Southern on that. Thank you, Jesus. So I must have touched a nerve this week, you know, and in fact, I half kidding and half not said, you know what, Satan, you just, if you got a problem, you need to go talk to my boss. I love to be able to say that. I literally laughed out loud at my own jokes, which is typical around my house because no one laughs at my jokes. But I was like, hey, if you got a problem, go talk to my boss. Like, and it hit me. I'm like, that is probably one of the most theologically sound statements I've ever made. That when I come in the name of Jesus and I stand against him and I've got the Spirit of God in me, and so do each of you if you've chosen to follow him. If you just say, nope, don't talk to the hand, talk to God. Like, I'm not in charge. I just work for him. And buddy, it's right there. That's it. End of story. Like, there's no more. We don't have to fight about it at all. And so again, this week, what I've done is based off of James 4:7-8. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. And then, yeah, we'll look at the other part. But the key, so over and over as I'm getting hit this week, I kept thinking, submit myself to God. That's number one. Submit, God, I'm your man. Whatever you want, God. And then right after that, look at that, resist the devil. I submit to God and say, nope. I'm not having it. I don't care about your accusations. I don't even care if they're true. I'm not going to live in this realm where you can just beat me up and batter me all the time. I submit myself to God. I resist the devil. What does it say? He will flee from you. He has to. This is the promise from God, God the Father. You know the one that created everything? You know that God? Yeah, that's what he says. You resist the devil and he must flee from you. But it starts in order. You can't just resist the devil. How many of us in our own flesh resist? I'm just going to resist this temptation. Oh, I can do it. No, I'm not going to. What do you do? The next thing you turn around, you're doing that very thing you hate, right? It happens. It's natural. God knows it. That's why he put it in order. Submit yourselves to God first. Then you have the power to resist the devil. And then the devil will flee. He has to flee. And I love this next statement. Verse 8, come near to God and he will come near to you. That's it. Over and over, I just kept thinking to myself, draw near, resist, repeat. Draw near to God, resist the devil, repeat. Over and over, when you're in a funk, do this. Write down this verse and just pray it. And just say, God, I submit myself to you. I resist the devil, Lord. Get him out of my way, that he will flee from me. God, I'm coming near to you, and I know that you're coming near to me. And repeat that about 1,000 times. And you'll be out of that funk. That's what God does. He is full of life. That's what he's all about. So in the last couple of weeks, we talked about this idea of consecration, consecrating ourselves to God. It's the same as submitting ourselves in a lot of ways, setting ourselves apart for holy things, saying, God, here's where I'm at. I'm choosing right now to consecrate myself, set myself apart for your holy work, God. The next one we talked about was trajectory. From there, we got to make sure we're heading in the right direction. And a lot of times we stray from where we should be. You know, God's over here and we're over here like, oh, cool piano. I want to buy that and a boat and a whatever, you know. But the cool thing is instantly all we have to do is turn back to God, consecrate, say, God, I'm in. And right now, God is still in the exact same spot. He never moved. And I still have the perfect straight line to God. So we consecrate ourselves, we set the right trajectory, and then we talked about velocity. Because velocity is how quickly we advance towards God. And again, we talked about muddy boots. You just feel like you're walking towards God, maybe in the right direction, but you're just, ugh. That is not the plan of God either. God calls us to be full of life. That's available through his Son and his Holy Spirit. So we need to consecrate ourselves, have the right trajectory, and work on the velocity, the speed at which we advance toward God. That is the life. We need to accept the life that he has us to the full. So looking back at John, I liked it so much I put it up there. Draw near, resist, repeat. 1,000 times you should be all right. John 10:10 again, the first part we read, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that you may have life. Read this with me. And have it to the full. One more time. And have it to the full. It's not a mistake that God wrote this in there. He didn't just say, I'm going to give you life. Boom. All right, you've got life. You're going to go to heaven. Here's your card. You know, I'll see you when you die. He says, no, you have life right now. Not just life available, but you have life and to the full, even in COVID-19 pandemic. Even with the political realm the way it is, whether you love it or don't love it, even in, you know, you name it, pick your issue. God says, even in all of that, even in your worst times, even in your grief, and I know there's people grieving, There's a lot of death and destruction going around, and I know that people are grieving. But God says, even in that, you can have joy, and you can have life. In fact, you need to have that life, because if you don't, you're spiritually dead. So, as people and followers of Christ, so those of you who have given your life to Christ, we have deposited in us the very Spirit of God. And that changes everything. We have the Spirit of God within us. And so if that's true, and I believe it is, hopefully you do too, why do we sometimes live as if we don't have the Spirit of God inside of us? Have you ever thought of that? Like why, you know, okay, so God, you put your Holy Spirit in me. Why do I still desire this thing? And why, and we have this, Luke says this about Paul in Acts 19:1-2. And if you have your Bible, I love when you open up your own Bible, flip through the paper and all that, or on your digital device, that's great. If you don't have a Bible, there are Bibles in front of you. You can borrow those, you can keep them, whatever. But so as I go through these kind of fast, I want you to be able to look at these references, and especially here in a little bit. But anyway, or you can read right from here. Acts 19 says this, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They answered, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. I don't know if you've ever, hopefully you've read that before, but if you've never like really got that meat, like there's a whole group of people, Jesus did what he did and all, but they're like, we don't even know, what's this Holy Spirit? And I wonder how many people, even quote-unquote followers of Jesus nowadays, are like, Holy Spirit, what is that? Oh, yeah, that's that weird thing where weird people do that, and they raise their hands. What is that about? I mean, I'll do it at the Super Bowl because, yeah, you know, I can be excited, and yes, go Chiefs or whatever it is, but what do you mean, yay, God? Like, that's just weird. That Holy Spirit thing is weird. No, it's not. It is the Spirit of God. It's just a man. If you want to raise your hand, all you're doing is just saying, God, I love you. Yes, this is true. Whatever I'm reading or I'm singing, I'm like, yes, it's true. Or I need to receive. Yes, I see that. The Holy Spirit is not weird. The Holy Spirit is awesome. And it's totally available. And it's this power. It's what powers the believer to do whatever God calls us. And so we're called to have this life to the full, and we need to realize that there is a Holy Spirit. That if you're in this place right now, no, I didn't even know there really was a Holy Spirit. I mean, I've heard about him or whatever. You need to say, no, I want to know more about that, because that is the Spirit of God. We can read about a great Heavenly Father and even about the story of Jesus. Many of us know that. But if we're not tapping into the Spirit of God, we're just a book smart Christian. We just, yeah, I know all about God. Are you interacting with him? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to actually direct your day and to change those bad decisions? And when you come up to that decision, you can say, I wonder what I should do here. Oh, God, you want me to, oh, okay, well, but I want that, but I'm going to do this instead. That's what prayer is. That's what being engaged with the Holy Spirit is all about. So I don't want us to miss out on this experience of life because we're not tapped into the Holy Spirit. John 7:37-39. We're going to be in John a little bit. This is talking about life. John, the book of John, has a lot to say about life. It's a really good book. If you're not familiar with reading the Bible, I definitely recommend starting in the New Testament. And definitely recommend starting in the Gospels, which are the first four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This is the fourth one. It's just a fourth person who talked about the gospel, talked about the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And so this is John. And he says this, if anyone is thirsty, and actually John is saying this, but Jesus, he's recording what Jesus had to say. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from him. That sounds good. Even if you don't know what it means, that sounds good, right? By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not yet been glorified. He was talking about the Pentecost, the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God became indwelt inside of us. We know about the Christmas story, Emmanuel, God with us in the person of Jesus. We live in a time now when we trust in, we believe in what God has done through his son Jesus. We get this deposit of the Holy Spirit inside of us. And it leads to this, streams of living water will flow from within us. That is the pinnacle. And something I want to kind of clarify here too, it's not just eternal life. When we think of God has given us life, many of us automatically go to that eternal life means life after death, right? It's okay. You can even kind of nod if you want. Like, I get it. Like, that's what I always thought too. What does Jesus give you? Oh, life after death. When I believe in him, when I die, I will have life, eternal life. Absolutely. Yes, that is a part of it. But what many of us don't realize is that what is eternal life? It's just not life after we die. It is life starting at your spiritual birth. At the moment you accept Jesus, you call on his name, place him as the Lord of your life, understand what he's done and say, God, I am your man, your woman. Once you do that, we are what the Bible calls born again, born into the Spirit of God. And your eternal life starts at that moment. Right then and right there. Eternal life, if you are a follower of Christ, eternal life doesn't start when you die. Eternal life starts right now. Right now. And just think about the implications of that. Okay, eternal life with God, I'm already in that. It's not going to just happen when I die. It's not a later. Eternal life doesn't mean later. It means unending. It's got to have a beginning, right? What's your beginning? Do you have a beginning with God yet? Once you have that beginning, then it is unending and everlasting. It's a wall from here that never stops. It's not just a later kind of moment. And I'm belaboring this a little bit because it's a big deal. You have eternal life. You have the very life of Jesus, his Spirit inside of you right now. Ready, go. You know? So it's not a, oh, well, yeah, once I get there, cool, great things, Spirit of God in me, that it's a right here, right now kind of life. And that means we have to do something with it. And that means we can do something with it, that we can overcome. We can overcome anything. Whatever your thing is in front of you that you are just absolutely positive, you're never going to get through. God can get you through it and around it and overcome it. Right now, let's start working on it right now, not just when we die. I mean, that's great, believe me, but that's not where we are today. Here's kind of a proof of one of the passages that backs this up, if you will. John 5:25. I tell you, and this again is Jesus speaking, so kind of a big deal. I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. Notice in there, it's not a future tense. It's not, and he will eventually have life, right? It says here, look at the very bottom, and he has crossed over from death to life. When you have Jesus, you've brought him into your life, you have, we could put in the word already. We could say, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has already inside of them eternal life and will not be condemned. He has already crossed over from death to life. Sign me up. Again, that's what I want. Because I know death. I feel that a lot. I feel in my own sin and my own thoughts and the things that I do, I don't want to do. And, I get frustrated. But God is saying, hold on. That's death. And I get it. We're still in these bodies and there's a lot. We got to work out a lot of this stuff. But he's saying, in that too, we have life available. You have crossed over from death to life. We need to walk like it. We need to realize that. We need to act like it. We need to pray like it. We need to believe like it. We need to hope like it. Eternal life starts right here and right now. And another great verse that goes along with this, again in John, I am the way and the truth and the life. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Life, all life, everything ever created. God, Jesus says, I am life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And if you'll excuse me a little bit, the way I kind of translate that for me is no one comes alive except through Jesus. I mean, you can read it however you want to, and I've read it a thousand different ways when I read this, all in good ways. I don't want to misinterpret scripture, but I like to allow God to apply it to me. And that's what he said to me is that through it, no one comes alive except through Jesus. He was saying, Mitch, you will not have life. You will feel death and frustration and all of that apart from Jesus. Just know that's it. That's your life apart from him. The only way to become fully alive is through Jesus over and over and over and just calling out, and God, I need you. I submit myself to you. I resist the devil. I'm drawing near to you, God. Draw near to me. I need you. I need your life. And I know everyone out here, across the board, everyone watching online, I know you get in those places like absolute desperation, absolute hopelessness. And you're like, I can't do this. I don't even want to take another step. I want to get back in bed. I want to cover up. Or, you know, I want to go to the bar and drink more than I ever thought imaginable. Or I want to work extra hard. Or I want to get lost in whatever your thing is, your addiction that escapes you from the world. God is saying, I want to be your escape. I want to give you life. And you don't have to come and drum it up and can you be honest with him? You know, we can't be honest with ourselves very well, very often. We can't be honest with other people, but my gosh, can we please just be honest with God? At least tell him where you're at. At least tell him, God, I don't want to change, but I want life. I don't even want to do what Mitch is talking about right now, but I want to want it. You know, I mean, if you can get to that point, I want to live that life. God, help me. Even in that, even if it feels like rebellion, even in that wanting to want to, God will say, he'll draw you to himself. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Says, if we want to, God is going to meet. He's going to do all the work, people. He's already done it. And his son, Jesus, now that Holy Spirit is available to each and every one of us. Okay, so you might be saying, okay, I hear a lot of good words up there, but how do we do that? You know, how do I even take a step towards Jesus? Or you know, how do I get this Holy Spirit working inside of me? God, give me this cute little cheesy thing. Believe it, receive it, repeat it. First of all, we just need to get to the point where we believe it. Like all of this stuff that we talk about and you read in the Bible, you can read it over and over and you can have that, again, that head knowledge. You can know the Bible inside and out and still not interact with it. But we need to get to the point where you're like, I believe it. I believe what Jesus did. I believe that he actually was a man, that he actually came to earth, that he was crucified for a specific reason. Do you know he willingly went to the cross? Satan didn't trap him. The Romans didn't. The Romans and the Jews, they didn't trap him into going there. Like, yeah, we got you. And Jesus is like, oh, I never saw this coming. God the Father, Jesus and the Holy Spirit, they knew before the creation of the world, they knew how jacked up we would be. They knew there needed to be a plan, and they knew it was going to be Jesus. And Jesus said, I am willingly going to the cross for your sin, to pay your debt, because you can't pay it. He lived a perfect life on our behalf. We need to believe it. Now we need to receive it. What are you going to do with that? You have this information. I'm going to give you kind of some of the scriptures. I'll tell you the Romans Road. It'll tell you four scriptures that can help you walk through But you got to believe it, and then you receive it. You make it personal. God, you are my God. Not just my parents. God doesn't have grandchildren. He has children. You can be a son or daughter of God. You need to believe it. You need to receive it and repeat it. Over and over to yourself. We can live out the gospel in our minds every day. We need that. Over and over, we need to believe it. We need to receive it and repeat it over and over to ourselves. We need to, God, yes, I recognize again what you've done for me. I receive it into my life. Just repeat it. And not just to ourselves, to other people we meet. Because there are some people that we meet who have forgotten all of that. Even followers of Christ, they've forgotten about the believe it and receive it part. We need to remind them. That's why we need to repeat our story, our testimony. Here's what God's doing in my life. Wow, thank you for that encouragement. I know, hopefully we've all experienced that. When someone shares a God moment and something that God's done for them, what does it do? It lifts you up. It's like, oh, what a great reminder. Yes, God is good all the time. You know, we need to repeat it to ourselves and to other people for sure. And it's not just one and done. Again, it's over and over. You know, Jason Grubby likes to repeat that, and that comes from his dad, which I love passing it down, that we leak. We can get filled up. Man, you can have a great day. You're filled up with the Spirit of God. And then the next day, you're just totally like, it's a balloon. Pop. You know, all of that, just all the air's gone. We leak. God knows it. That's why we need to go back over and over every day. Give us this day our daily bread. Don't give me enough for a month or a year because we can't keep it. Give me today my daily bread. I need right now, right today. Yesterday's gone, man, and I'm already worried about tomorrow. Just give me enough for today. And so maybe, you know, I know we leak. We also feel stuck. You know, those muddy boots that we talked about. You just feel like, oh, I'm barely moving along. And here's another thing. Maybe you feel trapped. You just feel trapped by past things or expectations or whatever sin pattern you're in or just these routines. You're just like, it's, you know, I made the donuts. Here I go again, you know. And if do you remember that old commercial? Yeah. Okay. You guys are old as me. So we start to feel trapped, and I want to read this story. If you feel trapped at all, maybe this will hit home a little too close. In Southeast Asia, many years ago, they came up with an ingenious and simple method to catch monkeys alive and unharmed. The hunter takes a pot with a wide bottom and narrow opening and buries it in the ground so that the opening of the pot is just above the ground. In the pot, the hunter places pieces of fruit or nuts or a banana. The smell of food soon attracts the monkey. The monkey naturally reaches into the narrow opening of the pot to grab hold of the treat. But as it attempts to remove its hand, it finds it impossible to free it so long as it's holding on to something else. The monkey will stand there screaming, firmly clutching onto the food for hours. Eventually, the hunter returns and throws a net over it. And even as it sees the hunter approaching, the monkey holds on tightly to the food, unwilling to let go until it's too late. And if you can just, and I looked this up, I saw the video on the internet. So this is true, people. This happens. The way they trap monkeys. So if you're following, they put the fruit down in this hole. It's down in there, and they kind of slide it down in. And the monkey reaches down there, and it tries to pull it out, but can't get it because his hand is clenched on this thing. And I know a lot of us, we have this thing, and our hand is clenched on there. And God is saying, just let it go. You want to be free? Let it go. You want to be free, but I can't. It's got a hold on me. I've got a hold on it. It's my addiction. It's my work. It's my, you fill in your blank. And we try to pull and pull, and the enemy just comes right up to us, throws a net over us, hauls us off. But as soon as, and again in the story here, as soon as you just let go and just slide your hand out, you're free. You are only trapped in what you feel like you're trapped in if you want to be trapped in it. Yeah, you either have life or you're just trapped or you're stuck. Ooh, excuse me. we're just stuck with these things, and we're holding on so dearly because we feel like we need them. And God, unless I do this, I'm not going to have it. And God's like, let go. You want to be free? Let go of whatever you're holding on to. I have something better. This is the plan of the enemy. This is good. Is a banana good? Yes. But God's like, let go of the banana, you stupid monkey. That's the way he talks to me. He's like, oh, come on. Like, he is so blunt with me. It's awesome. He's like, seriously, come on. Let go of the stupid banana. Let go of that, because I've got over here a whole smorgasbord, and it's probably pizza instead of fruit. You know, like, do you want the goods or you want that? God's plan is better every time. Every time. No question about it. So what are some of the things that I know we struggle with, that we're trapped with? Again, I kind of mentioned addictions, whether it be alcohol or something that is socially acceptable, is being overweight and food. I mean, we don't even consider, you know, that as an addiction. Oh, you just like to eat. Oh, good for you. Good on you, you know, and take a pill. Hopefully you can drop the weight, or whatever it is. Like, that can be an addiction, or it can be work. Whatever your addiction is, don't just say it's a drug or alcohol. Yes, those are the obvious ones. But what are you addicted to? What are you escaping to that is keeping you from God? When things get tough and you get home and, man, I need to unwind. What a day I've had. Do you go for that bottle of wine? Or do you go to God and say, God, man, I'm done. What a day. I feel like a punching bag. I was getting beat up at work or staying at home with the kids. And man, that's the hardest job on the planet. That should pay double what anybody else makes, you know. Like, I'm just undone, God. Instead of going to this, do you go to God and say, God, I'm I need you. And you better come quick, because I know where that bottle of wine is. And it's ready to go. So maybe it's an addiction or just an old way of thinking that you've always done it this way. So I'm going to just, it's just what I do. It's an old routine. It's like, yeah, when things are bad, I just roll into this way of thinking. This, as has been said, stinking thinking, or an old routine, or maybe someone else's expectations. I've got to keep doing this because that's what everybody expects of me. That's who they think I am. Or I've got to quit doing this because, yeah, whatever it may be, others' expectations. Maybe it's a fear of failure. Maybe it's just your past experiences that you're stuck in this. You're trapped by past experiences. This is the way it's always been, and this way it's always going to be. Well, it doesn't have to be. If we let go of that thing, his death gives us life. And we're almost done here. I'm going to wrap up. We're going to take communion together, which I think is a perfect kind of add into this, like a perfect way to end this whole message of receiving life, accepting what God has done in his death, so we don't have to be dead anymore. We can be spiritually alive, that God has offered us spiritual life, eternal life, starting right here and right now. The author of life gives us the offer of life. That's one of those real cheesy, tweetable moments right there. The author of life gives us the offer of life. And you guys know what an offer it is. An offer is, you know, act now and you can receive this offer of whatever it is. Is that offer any good if you don't take advantage of it? Nope. It's literally worthless. God offers us complete and total full life, eternal life starting right now. But if you don't take advantage of it, it's nothing more than an offer. You can just, zoop, nope, doesn't do any good, doesn't do me any good. And to be honest, the Bible is very clear that very few people will take advantage of this offer of Jesus. As sad as it is, as available as it is to everyone, very few. It says, broad is the way to destruction, and narrow is the path that leads to life. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only way to God, the Father. He is the very narrow way. And what we're talking about here is the very, very narrow way. Right here is the scripture that I told about. I encourage you to write these down or Google. Some people hate Google now. It's of the enemy. But look these up, Romans 3:23, and this is the gospel in a very great, short, precise way, if you will, starting with Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All. And all in the Greek, if you look it up, means all. Every one of us, down from Mother Teresa to Billy Graham, to pick your whoever, your Andy Stanley, your Chuck Stanley, to Jeffrey Dahmer, to us. Everybody in between, like everybody all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. If you think you can jump over the Grand Canyon, nobody can. The longest long jumper can't even get 20-some feet, whatever. We all fall short of the glory of God. And then going on to the next one here, Romans 5:8 talks about, but God demonstrates his love for us, that while we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us. That in the midst of your worst sin, whether that was last night and you went out and did this and that, or this week, or you've been stealing from work or whatever, in the midst of that, God knowing that, your worst thing, and the whole collection of every sin you'll ever make in your life, all of that considered, God demonstrates his love for us that while we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us. You will never be bad enough to be kicked out of the kingdom of God. And conversely, you'll never be good enough to earn your way to God. We all fall short of the glory of God. Going on to Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Your sin deserves death. Death, eternal separation from God. God cannot be in the presence of sin. Our sin, because we are sinners at our very nature, we can never come next to God in and of ourselves. The wages of sin is death, which is eternal separation, forever and ever separation from God. But the wages of sin is death, but eternal life is available through God. The gift of God is eternal life. It's a gift. Here, I got you a gift. You don't earn a gift. You can't pay for it. None of it. It is a gift. It is an offer. The gift of God is eternal life through his son, Jesus Christ. And then finally, Romans 10:9 is just, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. We will be spiritually born into the presence of God forever and ever and ever, everlasting. Confess with our mouth. You can't just believe it and let it stay up here. I knew that there was a God from my earliest memories. I just knew. I could see it in creation, in our trips to Colorado. I knew there was a God, but that's not enough. Even Satan knows there's a God. His demons know it. They even know it. They could quote these scriptures better than any of us. Believing it is not enough. We need to confess with our mouth and believe what God did and receive what he did through his son, Jesus. If you would, go ahead and take out your elements. And if you're watching at home, we're gonna take communion together. I invite you just to take some kind of bread if you have. We've got a wafer, which is not probably at all food. I don't even know what it is, but I just know it won't probably kill us. So get those elements, you know, again, it's kind of a bread substitute, whatever, and a juice. Hopefully you're not drinking wine already this morning. And let's open those up. Again, I think it's very fitting that we would take these elements together. What is communion? Communion is just this expression. It's this remembering of God, of what he did in his son, Jesus. And Jesus, actually, on the night that he was betrayed, the night before the crucifixion, he enjoyed this meal with his disciples. And kind of he knew what was coming, obviously. And he took this bread and he made this kind of ceremonial night called the Passover that he did together. And he just kind of shared with them in the way that basically said, I want you to remember that my life, that I've given you my body to be broken for you. And they didn't fully know what all this meant yet, but looking back, they would have, because the next day, his body was bashed and bruised. He was spit upon. He was cut. He was barely alive by the time he made it to the cross. In fact, it said that he was beaten so bad he was unrecognizable. It wasn't just those pretty pictures of Jesus on the cross with, you know, a little bit of a streak here and a pretty crown. He was bloodied and bashed, unrecognizable. And he told his disciples that my body, I give that. All of that, the beating up and the blood and eventually the death. My death is for you. And that's when we take this bread, that's what we're remembering. And so the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's take the bread. And it says later on, kind of in the meal as they're doing it, he took the juice or the wine, and he began to tell them that I'm not only just going to be beaten up and shamed and you know, naked and all of these things on your behalf. Not just that, I'm gonna go even further, and I'm gonna allow my death. I'm gonna allow them to take every drop of my blood, which represents life. I'm gonna pour out my blood on your behalf. That's gonna cover your sin. That when God the Father looks at our sinful lives and he looks at dirty old sinful Mitch and each one of you, that blood, he's actually going to see it as the purest, whitest covering of Jesus. Jesus says, I am going to pour out my blood on your behalf. In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink of it. In remembrance of me, let's take the cup. I know I said a lot of words today, and if any of it's confusing, these are online, by the way. You can always go back and relook at this, and you know, maybe if you didn't take notes today, you can go back and just like, that's kind of, I don't understand that fully, or, you know I kind of rushed through that Romans road, those scriptures, and what the gospel is. You can email me anytime. I'd love to talk with any of you about these kind of things. But I encourage you just to read the Word of God yourself. Read the Word every single day. We should all be just reading, what does God say about anything and everything, fill in the blank, and then just praying. And don't over-spiritualize prayer. Be ever so reverent with it, but you can also be very casual with God. Again, he knows all about us and everything. We can just have, all it is a conversation. Will you just talk to God? Just be honest with him. Here's where I'm at. I don't even know if I want to, and I already talked about this, but just have a conversation with God. God, you got to help. You got to show up, or I'm going to, and I want you. And just have this conversation. Be in his word, be in prayer, and watch God go to work. Believe that life is available, and let's walk like it, let's act like it, let's call out for it, and let's not stop until we get it. Amen. Go ahead and stand with me if you would. I'm just going to pray. And I want you to kind of take all this in, even if you maybe didn't understand it or fully. But so if you want to, if you would, just open up your hands and just receive, as I just pray, a blessing on you and an impartation, which just means kind of an infilling of what God's been showing me. So Lord, I just ask that you would bless this group of people, those here in the building, those watching online, and just fill us, God, with your life. We believe what your son came to do, God. We understand it. We're trying to anyway. We believe it and we want to receive it. We want to make it real in our hearts. So I just pray for every single person here that you would continue to illuminate their minds to understand and their hearts to be able to receive it. Just pray that, I pray against the attack of the enemy that will come, guaranteed, as soon as you hit the parking lot, and it'll come tomorrow, next week, and next month. We know that's coming, God, but we submit ourselves to you. We resist the devil. We choose to draw ourselves near to you, God. And thank you for the promise that you will draw near to us as well. I just ask for a blessing and covering on these people, your church, your people, God. We are all in for you. We love you. And thank you for your protection. We pray all this in your son Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Have a great, great week. If you would, go ahead and have a seat real quick. We're going to allow, we're just a social distance as we're going to start here with Dave. He's going to let you out.